Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13 and reading through verse 16. You'll readily recognize that Paul is still in the attitude of prayer as he continues that prayer in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "And we," he, Timothy, "and Silas, and we thank God continually because," what's the reason, Paul, that you guys are thankful? "We're thankful when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last." Will you pray with me? Father, the truth is yet before us again. Would you enable us to be still and to know that you are God? As I survey those who would hear your word this morning, it occurs to me that we come with so many different thoughts, so many different agendas, so many different circumstances from the week gone by and the week yet to come. And it is my prayer that as we come before your word, that we would bring all of that with us, crawl up into your lap, and cast our care upon you simply because you care for us. Holy Spirit, move me out of the way and communicate effectively the truth of your word to these your sheep. Feed them, I pray. Apply the truth to their lives. We desperately need to be fed from your word. So feed us now, we pray, in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. There's an African dialect where the expression for thankfulness is this: to sit down on the ground before another. An individual will go to the home of his benefactor and he will sit on the ground before his hut. No word need be spoken. His silent vigil signifies his gratitude. The man who is thankful to God, therefore, sits before God to enjoy his presence. Can't you see Paul and Timothy and Silas thankful to their God? Can't you see them sitting before the hut of God, so to speak? And here Paul lets us in on why he's before the face of his God and for what it is that he's thankful. And it's interesting to me that what he's thankful for here in these four verses is the work of the Word of God and the way that it's been received by the church at Thessalonica. My challenge to you would be to be like that church and receive the word of God. You receive the word of God. Let's pull that apart and ask the question, how do we receive it? And I would give it to you in these four ways. First of all, I would answer that question, how do we receive the word of God? With this: hear the word of God with your heads. Hear it with your heads. Listen to it. In other words, use your ears. The first word that Paul uses with this body of believers is that they received it. simply means that they heard it. They put themselves in a place, or they found themselves in a place where the Word of God was being taught or read to them, and they heard it. It didn't become the Word of God because they heard it. It was the Word of God, and they heard it as such. You and I ought to be continually before the Word of God, hearing what it says. I regularly need to be reminded of the truth of God's Word. Maybe your memory is better than mine, but you still need to hear the Word of God with your head. Read it. Take the time, not just on Sundays, to read it. I am encouraged when I see Bibles that are falling apart, because that means that you are turning the pages and looking in it and reading it and hearing it with your head. Sit under the teaching of God's Word, even as you do on Sunday mornings, even as you do in Bible studies, women and men, even as you do during the Sunday school hour. You need to constantly bombard your mind with the truth of God's Word. Study it. Memorize it. Take the time to pull out some verses and memorize them. Place them in prominent places. If a prominent place for you is the refrigerator, tack God's Word up there. If the prominent place for you is in front of the mirror, I see some of you husbands elbowing your wives, plaster God's Word right there where you'll constantly be reminded. Why do I say that? Well, turn with me for a moment to 1 John chapter 4. I have repeated opportunities to be encouraged by this, and how quickly I forget. I want to see if you remember this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. God writes through His servant John, 1 John 4:7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is how God showed His love. And this is how He showed it among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love, that God loved us. Now, the reason I say you need to bombard your mind with the truth of God's Word is because the first time you fail God this week, the enemy will tap you on the shoulder and help you forget that. Oh, I know that God loves people, but He can't love you right now because you messed up, because you're not perfect, because you failed Him, because you don't measure up, because you fall short of what God has for you. So God couldn't possibly love you anymore, right? Anybody been there? And how quickly we forget, because you understand that God's Word teaches truth that isn't natural. Why would God love you and me, sinful in His sight, dead in our transgressions and sin? Rest fully assured, if love begins with us, which is not what John teaches, He would never love us. But because love begins with Him, and because He showed His love to us through His Son Christ, who came and died for our sins, He continues to love us. I need to hear the Word of God with my head on a regular basis. I need to be bombarded with the truth of His Word, because my mind will quickly believe lies. My mind will quickly be deceived about what's right and wrong, what's true and what isn't. And so you and I need to hear the Word of God with our heads. And Paul says, we are thankful because you guys received it. You listened to the Word of God. You accepted it. You heard it. You studied it. You memorized it. But it doesn't stop there. The second word that Paul uses in that text with regards to their receiving or accepting the word is beyond the first. The first is that they heard it with their heads. The second is, I would challenge you to receive the word of God. How? Hear it with your hearts. The second word that Paul uses has the idea of they welcomed it. They were thankful. The first was, you know, the guy that shows up, the salesman at the door, and he knocks, and you get to hear the little spiel, but thanks, but no thanks, and you shut the door and go about your day. The second word is more like he knocks on the door, he tells you what he's selling, you listen, and you go, that sounds great. Come on in. I want to hear more. And Paul is excited, and Timothy and Silas are excited, not just that they heard it with their heads, but they heard it with their hearts, and they recognized it as the word of God, and they welcomed it into their lives. And so my challenge to you, Faith Church, is to receive the word of God with your hearts. Hear it with your hearts, not just your heads. But before you say, hey, that's great. I'm right with you, Carl. I want to receive it that way. Can I tell you that where the word of God shows up in your heart, it makes changes. It does some things on the inside when you let it in. They are good things, but they are not all easy things. Because as the word of God becomes part of who I am, it will point out things that are not right in my life. Have you had that encounter with the word of God? When you welcome it in, do you see sometimes the conflict between maybe practical life and what the word of God teaches? You see, what's really cool about the word of God is it doesn't just say, dude, you're off base, you need to stop that. But it also shows you how to correct that, and it shows you the right path versus the wrong one that you may have been taking. And in the midst of that, God comes alongside and says, nothing will separate you from my love. I will walk through this valley with you. And it's only by my strength that you'll be able to change. And so as the word of God comes into my heart, it ministers to my soul and my life. And it begins to change me from the inside out. And so my challenge is to hear the word of God with your heart. Accept it. Welcome it. Search my heart, O God, and see what's out of line with the truth of your word. Meditate on it. Allow it to penetrate. Accept it for the precious treasure that it is. Do you welcome the word that it might teach you? That it might correct you? That it might strengthen you, that it might encourage you, that it might comfort you. Can I just say, if there's resistance in your own heart to receiving the word of God, would you just make a little note and maybe just do it now? You can just ignore me for a few minutes and just ask God to remove the obstacle from you welcoming his word into your heart. In fact, let's just pray for a minute. God, it occurs to me that sometimes when we get to this place of welcoming your word into our hearts, we know that's the right thing to do, but maybe some of us are afraid. We're afraid that when we turn the light of your word on in our hearts, it'll expose some things we're not too excited about. God, would you, by your grace, tear down those barriers? Eliminate the fear by your love. Oh God, give us a hunger to welcome the word from the hands of a loving God. And may we be those who hear the word not only with our heads, but with our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Hear the word of God with your heads. Listen to it. Hear the word of God with your hearts. Welcome it. Third way I would answer the question, how do you receive the word of God? Hear the word of God with your hands. These people not only received it and accepted it, But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Right before that verse, he says, the word of God is at work in you who believe. Verse 14, for you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea. They put the word of God into practice. I'm sure that God has an instant replay far sophisticated to anything I've ever encountered. And I look forward to that one day in heaven because I want to really understand exactly what that looked like in Thessalonica. And I want to see that instant replay. How did they put it into practice, God? How did the people at Thessalonica love each other? How'd they put that into practice? When somebody next to them in the pew at the church, and you didn't know they had pews back then, did you? But the person in the pew next to them in Thessalonica, when that person was in need, you know, did the person next to him just go, hey, what's going on? How can I help? And maybe it was a financial need, or maybe it was a hug, or maybe it was the kind of need that, man, you're out of line. I'm worried about you. Are you okay? Is there something I can do? And willing to speak the truth in love. He says, you guys became imitators of the church. The church in Judea, and you began to practice it. And so they heard the word with their hands. They put it into practice. They did what God told them to do. They didn't just read it and go, wow, that's nice. That was a sweet sermon. They put it into practice. They were obedient to the word of God. They were committed to do what it said. And they also, I believe, understood that it was God in and through them that enabled them to do it. Not their own strength. Can I just say, ditto to what Paul said about the church at Thessalonica with regards to you, faith? I thank God that I see you receiving the word, not only with your head and your heart, but I see you with your hands ministering to each other. I see time and time again when a need is brought to your attention and you rise to the occasion. And you care for one another. I hear it repeatedly. I hear it from people who come into this body, who are new to this body. And they say, the thing that was attractive to me about Faith Church is the love that you guys have for each other. We're not even culturally correct in finishing at noon. We typically finish at 12:15 and you still won't go home. And the love that you have for one another is evidence to me that you not only receive the word of God with your head and your heart, but with your hands. You're putting it into practice. And when I hear you praying for those around you who don't yet know Christ, and when I hear you asking, how do I get the gospel into their lives? I see you hearing the word of God with your hands. You're putting it into practice. And that's what the church at Thessalonica was doing. Many of you are experiencing the last part, the fourth point, and probably the most difficult of the four. How do you hear the word of God? How do you receive it? My fourth point is this: hear the word of God with your hurts. With your hurts. One of the ways that they became imitators of the churches in Judea is that they suffered because they believed. It's been going on for centuries, and it will continue on for centuries until Christ returns. And if you're like me, we don't like that word suffering. We don't really want to identify with it. We like comfort. Some of you have heard me tell of years ago having a cavity filled, and it was new technology to me. When he swabbed my gums with something that numbed my gums, I had a mask on and was receiving happy gas, and he used Novocaine, and I thought, this is awesome. Three different ways to endure difficulty. We will go to all lengths to be comfortable. And yet, I see Paul and Timothy and Silas go, you guys, I'm thankful because you've received the word of God, and it's evident how precious it is to you because you are willing to endure suffering for the sake of God's word. Now, can I tell you this? That if you receive God's word with your head, your heart, and your hands, you will, if you haven't already, encounter some suffering. 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. No exception. But there's something in my mind more than just it's a necessary evil that occurs when we receive the word of God, we have to suffer. I think there's more to it than that. I think there's something in the hurt that we hear in no other place. And I think it's through the difficulties that the word crystallizes, not only in our heads and our hearts, but our hands and our lives. There are things that I hear in the hurts that I can't hear any other place. And there are some things that are evidenced in the hurts that are not evidenced anywhere else. For when I meet with opposition and I still grab hold of the truth of the Word of God, I know that it's precious to me because I won't give it up just to avoid a little bit of pain. There was a young Roman by the name of Adrian, a Praetorian guard, a fanatic persecutor of Christians. But the calmness and the courage of those he put to torture impressed him. Adrian, brave himself, admired bravery. In these Christians, he saw a heroism that he hadn't seen anywhere in battle. It was the year 280, and Adrian was 28 years old. His skill and daring had led to one promotion after another. Yet he couldn't get over his admiration of these followers of Christ. One day he asked one of the Christians being tortured, "What gives you such strength and joy in the midst of sufferings?" "Our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we believe," the martyr replied. In a flash, Adrian made an important decision. He stepped to the heathen judge and he declared, "Put down my name among those to be tortured. I also shall become a Christian." For 23 years after his conversion, Adrian suffered much, but he never flinched from his loyalty to Christ. In 303, he was killed. For 17 centuries since, he's been the patron saint of soldiers. "Put down my name." So what do? We listen. 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 Read it. Think about it. Study it. Memorize it. Put yourself under the teaching of it. Listen to the Word of God. But do more than hear it with your head. Welcome it. Hear it with your heart. Practice it. Hear it with your hands. Put it into practice. And then hear it with your hurts. Something that happens in our hurts, in the opposition, in the suffering, in the difficulty, in the opposition that we meet when we receive the Word of God, is that it's shared, isn't it? What is it about you that you'll cling to that truth even in difficulty? Either you're crazy, or there's something about what you're holding on to that's of value. Job, in the midst of his suffering, had a wife who said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Do you know why he didn't? Because he knew who God was. Hear the word of God. Listen to it. Welcome it. Practice it. Share it. I want you to come one more time with me to the wedding. And I want you to imagine the groom is standing down front, anxiously awaiting his bride. I want you to hear the music, and I want you to see the bride come down the aisle. dad's arm in tow. I want you to see the gleam on the bridegroom's face. I want you to listen as the pastor tells you why we are gathered here together. And then I want you to listen as he says the vows and as he asks the questions of the potential groom. And I want you to hear him say, "Will you have this woman to be your wife?" And I want you to hear the groom with enthusiasm say, "Yeah, whatever." You ever hear anybody say that at a wedding? "Sure, whatever. If that's the way it's got to be." "Do you take this woman?" "Yeah, sure." Have you ever heard anybody say that at a wedding? I've not. And as an officiator of weddings, I better never hear that from somebody's mouth. "I do." He can't get it out fast enough. Come on, say the vow faster, whatever. I do. And I fear that some of us take the word of God and go, whatever. Do you understand what this treasure is? Listen to it. You desperately need it. Hear it with your head and your heart and your hands and even with your hurts. This is the very word of God. Nothing else like it in this world. It is his love letter to you and me. He has come down the aisle in the form of his son, who yielded his life so that we could be his bride. He had no obligation to communicate with us how to be saved or how to live as his children, but he graciously has. Receive it. With your head, with your heart, with your hands, with your hurts. Let's pray. Father, forgive our complacency when it comes to the word that is before us. I pray that we would salivate for the word of God. I pray that we, in one sense, can never get enough. I thank you for a body who loves the truth of your word. May you give them an even stronger appetite for the truth of your word. Give us ears, hearts, hands, and even hurts, Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God, to receive the word of God. May our response not be, "Whatever, yes, sure, but I do." Feed us, we pray, with the truth in Jesus' name. Amen.